Come on to my house, to my house. I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, to my house. I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Shale Peck Krause, and Shale is the co-owner of the Tule Fog Farm. Now, how did the Tule Fog Farm get its name?
Tule fog is a type of fog that only happens on grasslands and marshes. It's a really beautiful phenomenon that we see out in the bottoms. It's sort of a blanket fog that you can look under and look over. And it's just something we really loved.
I love Tule fog as well. How did you get interested in food and growing your own food?
Well, I'm a foodie. I've always been interested in doing food experiments. I'm always like taste testing in my kitchen, just altering like one variable, very scientific about it. And I was vegan as a young adult. And in learning more about how animals are raised, I realized there's alternatives to the factory farming, but there weren't a lot of available products in alternative farming. And that's sort of how I got interested in farming, because I wanted to eat animal products that I felt good about. I didn't really like being vegan, but I didn't want to support factory farming.
Mm-hmm. I hear that from a lot of people, that if they could have meat that was raised in the way that they wanted, that would make the difference between them being either vegetarian or vegan and eating meat. Now, did you have somebody in your life who, when you were growing up, who taught you how to cook and how to garden and that sort of thing?
My parents did a little bit, but I feel like I've learned a lot of it as an adult from friends and classes and my spouse. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And what do your parents think about what you're doing now?
They're pretty supportive now. When I first graduated college and was going into farming, I'd already been doing it for a little while. My mom especially was a little bit like, I just paid for a college degree and you're doing what?
I know. You know what I think a lot of people think of is that there was this whole trend of moving people off the farms,
yes,
and into the cities, and that it was supposed to be a step up.
And yeah, you can't make money farming very well. 90% of the farms out there are not profitable. We are one of them. But, you know, we started out really small and very slow. So that's my goal, is to someday at least be breaking even. Uh-huh. But it's a hard, hard way to make a living. You do it because you love it. And that's because of the Farm Bill. Everybody thinks Farm Bill. It is what makes it really impossible to make a living as a small farmer. Thank you, Farm Bill.
Yeah, the Farm Bill doesn't support small farmers.
No,
it's for
terrible.
the big corporate farms.
Yep.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see some money of that farm bill, or majority of it, if I could have my way, diverted to small farms.
Yeah.
Now, how did you end up just in the business of farming?
Well, I was vegan, and I was getting a degree in biology at HSU. Uh-huh. And I had one more semester to go, and I had no idea what I was going to do when I finished. I knew I wanted to work outside, but wasn't really interested in being a field biologist, because it seemed very unrooted, and I'm kind of like staying home. And a friend of my spouse was thinking of starting a organic pastured poultry farm, because there was nobody doing that locally, and I thought it sounded awesome. It's a great alternative. And so I asked her if she was interested in partnering up, and she said yes, and we got a couple hundred chickens, and within a couple of months we were in the egg business.
And I think you were involved in getting that mobile abattoir going too.
I was involved in it. I helped write the business plan, and we won money through the Economic Fuel business plan contest. But after we won that, and before the abattoir got built, I really got to thinking about where I was going with my life and what I was doing in the farming business. And I got to looking at the food that we were trucking in. We were literally trucking in tons and tons of grain to feed our chickens, because we don't grow grain locally for feeding animals. We grow a little bit for human consumption, but not really. You can't purchase animal feed here that's locally grown. And I got into looking at that and like, what do I want to be doing with my farming? And the grain was coming from the Midwest, but the soy was coming from China and Brazil. And I was like, oh, there's like so much fossil fuel involved in this. And I don't trust organic stuff from China. And then in Brazil, they're clear cutting rainforests so we can grow soy, so I can grow quote unquote local chicken. And I was like, this is really screwed up. Like, it's not in line with the ethics of why I started farming. So at that point, I decided to move to a grass-based farm. And our current farm, our real goal is to be grass-fed. And not use grains. We still use grains for various reasons, but a lot less than we otherwise would. And so I decided, like, chicken may be more appropriately grown in the Midwest and shipped as chicken rather than as grain, because it takes 3 pounds of grain per pound of chicken. So it seemed like it may make more sense to ship the chicken than the grain to me. I don't know if that all pans out with refrigerated trucking and...
Sure. Yeah, the real cost, what the real cost is.
I haven't sat down and really crunched the numbers. But in my own, like, heart, I wanted to do grass-based farming. So before the abattoir was built, I took my half of the money and imported some Cooney Cooney pigs. And they're a really special breed that is the only breed of pig that can be 100% grass-fed. And then Sarah Bruner, who was my partner, she kept going with the abattoir and she finished it off, got it done, made it happen, which is awesome.
Sure, and we've interviewed Sarah about the abattoir. Yeah,
yeah, it's a real great thing to have available in the area.
So now, which animals do you raise grass-fed or grass-based?
We do cattle, sheep, pigs, geese. Those are all 100% grass-fed. Some of our goats, we do grass-fed. We've had a hard time with goats, though. And some of our pigs end up being grain supplemented because not every individual pig is able to hack it on a grass-fed diet. It's really challenging for pigs. But our goal is grass-fed with the pigs, so we select those that do really well, and those are the ones that we keep for breeding.
I was going to ask you that, whether you allow the pigs to breed, and then do you make piglets available to people who might be interested in raising pigs?
We do. We sell breeding stock.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Now, the breed of pig that you grow, you say you can raise it 100% on grass.
Mm-hmm.
Do they, like, they eat grass and they're able to digest it and process it and turn it into meat and
fat?
Yeah,
they're called Cooney Coonies. They're a breed from New Zealand, developed by the Maoris. Although if you go to New Zealand, all the white people in New Zealand will not give credit to the Maoris. It's very racist. But Maoris, gotta give them credit for an amazing artistic job on breeding the Cooney Cootie. They bred them to produce a lot of fat on a really low calorie diet without fences. So these pigs are friendly, they stick around, and they grow on very little.
How big do they get?
They're very small for pigs. Absolute max you see is 300 pounds, but usually they're more like 150 pounds.
And that's live weight, 150
live
pound
weight,
live weight. Yeah.
And they've just got the best personalities for pigs. Like, they're not aggressive like your standard pig.
Right. Pigs can be pretty scary.
Yeah.
I think they're gigantic, can be a gigantic animal, and they're omnivores.
Yes.
Yeah.
The only animal known to eat the farmer.
Yes. Although chickens can scare me sometimes too. They get that look in their eye. So you also have milk animals that you milk on the farm.
Just a few. And that's entirely for household use and work trade. So we have a lot of interns that do work for us and we send them home with milk too.
Oh, okay. If people are interested in buying a CSA share from you or getting more information about how they can purchase from you, how might they get a hold of you?
They can email us. That's really the best way.
And what's your email address?
It's Tule Fogg Farm, TuleFoggFarm @gmail.com.
Well, great. This is Jennifer Bell, and I've had a great time talking with Shale Peckrouse from Tule Fogg Farm. Thank you so much, Shale.
Thank you.
Grapes and the cakes. Hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.